Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today from Mark 8, "Behold, I will send my messenger before your face." Messenger is John the Baptist. "He'll prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness and the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Dear friends of Christ, every time of year, this year, John the Baptist shows up faithfully to get us on board, to prepare us. And as he entered into Jerusalem, he had gained popularity. People knew that there was a new prophet in town, a new prophet in Israel. You see, the last prophet that had spoken was a prophet Malachi, and that was 400 years earlier. So for 400 years, God had been silent. This was strange, because throughout the Old Testament, there were times where maybe, you know, a few years where God would be silent and there'd be no message from God through the prophets. But 400 years? This was odd. And now all of a sudden, a prophet from God is back. God is reaching out to his people. What's happening? And the people were paying attention. Let's go find out what God has to say. And in flocks they came to hear John the Baptist. They would travel hundreds of miles walking just to hear the message. And the message? Get ready. Get your hearts right. Prepare. Prepare your hearts for the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is coming. And it's all quite impressive how everybody showed up and how many people wanted to hear the message and came. Thousands of people. It's all quite impressive, but it's still impressive today. Because everybody, by faith, is coming to the manger at Christmas, and we're all going to come on Christmas Eve to hear the message, right? And not just thousands, but millions. Millions around the world now come. It's quite impressive that the message of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who started in a manger and started with the voice of one prophet in the wilderness, crying out, "Prepare," and now millions around the world prepare their hearts to receive him every year. It's impressive. With all the superficial celebrations of Christmas, all the trappings of the commercialism, people still flock to Jesus. And John's message is our theme. It's time to know Jesus. You know what I want for Christmas? More than anything else, what I want more than anything is for you to be saved in Christ Jesus. More than anything, I'd give it all up for the world to know Christ Jesus and for the world to know him better and have saving faith in his name. I want that for you. This morning, the voice of John the Baptist is calling you, calling the world to come. Know Jesus and know him better. And his voice brings us closer. John the Baptist was this new voice, this new prophet. After 400 years of silence, he speaks. The whole event had been prophesied by Isaiah 650 years earlier. Isaiah prophesied that a voice would show up, crying in the wilderness, crying out in the desert, "Prepare the way of the Lord. The glory of the God is about to be revealed. All of flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." The new message, the amazing voice, cry, the cry to the people, Jesus is coming. Know who he is. Get your hearts ready, get your hearts right, get your minds right. Do what you need to do. Get ready to know him better. The one who is coming is important. Important for your salvation. John's call to faith is no different back then than it is today, because he's still calling us. He's calling all people to be prepared, and he warns us that if we're not prepared, there's a coming judgment. And we learned about that in our epistle lesson, that coming judgment. Everybody needs to know him. Everybody needs to believe in him. Being unprepared, well, that can have devastating results. Being unprepared. You people in the military, or perhaps some of you others, we used to celebrate this day and we remembered it more solemnly than we used to Sunday, December 7th, 1941, America was unprepared. And the Japanese Army, military, Air Force, bombed Pearl Harbor. They were unprepared. The results were devastating. And those who remember the events remember the fear that gripped America on that day. We weren't prepared. We're being conquered. We're being destroyed. Lives are being lost. It was a blindside. Took us by surprise. 2,403 Americans were killed. 1,178 others were wounded. It was the most deadly event that happened in Hawaii. Another deadly event is coming, though. Much more deadly. Much greater in its span of people. Judgment Day. Now, it's not going to be deadly for the people of God. We, the believers, we get to be spared from all of God's wrath, from God's anger, from the judgment. However, the unbelievers, well, they're going to meet the wrath of God, and they'll die, not just physically, they're going to die eternally in the eternal lake of fire. So the message is clear. Be prepared. Don't let that happen to you. Know Jesus. Know Him better. Because being unprepared will have devastating consequences. Paul warns about that in our epistle. The day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. And the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. So how do we prepare? How do we prepare for all that as Christ comes again, before He comes again in glory? Well, one way to prepare, listen. Open your ears, open your hearts, open your minds. Listen to the voice of John the Baptist. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight paths for Him. John warned the people too about God's coming judgment. And so he wants us to be prepared by confessing our sins. Saying, Lord, I don't deserve a reward. There isn't a reward that I deserve from You. I bring You nothing, I offer You nothing except to cling to Your Son. As my Savior, we need forgiveness. And that gives us all we need. And back then, some of the people listened. Back then, some of the people were listening. Our text says the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, this prophet, confessing their sins. I'm a poor, miserable sinner. I need God. I need salvation. And they were baptized by Him in the Jordan. Now back then, some listened. Are people listening today? Or are they listening to the cacophony of all the other voices, the blending together of all of society, saying other things, following, making our ears follow other ways? Do they know Him? Do they know Him better? Now John gives us a metaphor. Talks about the wheat and the chaff. The wheat are the believers. The chaff are the unbelievers. The wheat are prepared. The chaff is not prepared for the coming judgment. Then John the Baptist says these solemn words. God's winnowing fork is in His hand, and He's going to clear His threshing floor, gather His wheat into the barn, but the chaff He'll burn with unquenchable fire. As you might imagine, that message, that warning, doesn't sit well with people. There are some people who think, how dare God threaten me? Who does He think He is? That message, that warning of repentance and preparation didn't sit well in the hearts of some of the people in Jesus' day either. Those prideful, pompous Pharisees didn't sit well with them. The Sadducees, the snooty Sadducees, didn't sit well with them either. And they showed up there in the desert to hear John the Baptist's message. They didn't like it. And John didn't mince his words. You brood of vipers. You poisonous snakes. He said, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? You need to bear fruit worthy of repentance. Did you hear the warning? Pretty clear, wasn't it? Did you hear the message to the unbelievers? To the chaff? You brood of vipers, repent. How does that kind of warning fall on human ears today? You brood of vipers, you worthless people, you chaff, waiting for the fire, turn, repent. It doesn't sit well. That kind of message doesn't sit well with people today any more than it did with the people who were listening to John the Baptist's message back then. People stubbornly refused to believe in God back then. They're still stubbornly refusing to believe today. Yet, some listened. Some heard. Some repented. Some turned. Some confessed their sins. If we take away as a church the message of sin, if we take away God's judgment and wrath against sinful people, if all we pray is, Jesus loves us, Jesus loves everybody, what's left? If we fail to convict human hearts of their sinful behavior, what's left? If that's the message of the church, then we just need to turn all the churches into dancing halls, into places of entertainment and joy, where everybody can feel good about themselves and then burn like the chaff. We need a Savior because we're sinners. And why did He come? If we don't have convicted hearts, if our hearts aren't broken because of our sin, the manger means nothing. The Christmas celebration of Christ coming to the world means nothing. Why do we need a Savior if I'm not broken? Why do I need a Savior if I don't need to be saved? And so the message comes that we might bend our knees and cry out, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Without convicted hearts, we can't appreciate God's gift. But with convicted hearts, we appreciate the gift. We appreciate the salvation, the price paid. And that's why John was out there in the wilderness convicting hearts, convicting consciences, to show us how far we have fallen, how short our lives are to fulfill the glory of God. And he points to the day of judgment. John the Baptist wants us to listen. Why? So that our hearts will cry out, I've sinned against the Lord, I've broken His commandments, I've fallen short, I don't deserve a reward. I need Jesus. I need to know Him better. I need Him to save my life. I need Him to save my soul. Don't you see? John's message, his voice brings us closer to Jesus. It's what we need. That angelic message of Christmas, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The season of Advent is a time for our personal reflection. It's a time for us to examine our hearts. Do you have sinful thoughts in your life? Or do you carry guilt? Anger? Jealousy? Envy? Hatred? Pride? Now, I know we can bemoan all the trappings of Christmas where things are left out and it doesn't point to Jesus, and we say, the world is lost without Jesus. But again, we shouldn't be bemoaning the commercialization of Christmas. We should be bemoaning the fact that there's sin in my own heart. That I'm broken. That sin exists in me. And without genuine sorrow and genuine contrition, Christmas means nothing, but with it, with Christmas, with a broken heart, we say, Merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinfully unclean. And I've disobeyed you, not just in thought, but also in words and in deeds. I have done what's evil in your sight. I failed to do what is right. I deserve your punishment, not a reward. I deserve your punishment now and forever, but I'm truly sorry for my sins. I can't stop my sins. I can't do anything about my evil nature. I trust my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, have mercy upon me, a broken, sinful man. The people came to John in large numbers, confessing their sins. If you confess your sins, John did not hear those words of confession and leave you empty. He didn't give you words of judgment and anger. If you came confessing, he gave you words of hope. He gave you a message of forgiveness. John the Baptist repeated Isaiah's words of comfort. There's good news for us. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to the people of God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Tell her that her sad days are gone and that her sins are pardoned. Tell her there's forgiveness. Let her know that as she confesses, there's nothing good in me. I don't deserve a reward. Lord, I'm a sinful being. Don't look upon me. Don't look upon my life. Cover me with the blood of Christ. Let them know they're covered. Let them know they're cleansed. Let them know that their hearts have been prepared by the blood of Christ. And John talked to the people about forgiveness. He wanted them to know Jesus. He wanted their lives covered by the blood. You know, when Jesus came to John the Baptist to be baptized by him in the River Jordan, John told the people, "Behold, there's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John pointed to the people. You need to know him better. There's your Savior. Not only do you need to know him, you need to know him well. It's important. And you can almost hear John's passion as he preaches. Speaking about Jesus, John said, "One is coming after me, Jesus. He's more powerful than I. The thongs of whose sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water. He'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit." He's talking about Pentecost. He's saying, "You need to know this guy." But what made John the Baptist the greatest prophet ever was his unrelenting zeal, his fervent heart for the lost, his desire, determination to point people to Jesus. That's where it's found. That's what's important. Forget all the other things in life. Forget everything else in life. That's your treasure. That's your life. That's your salvation. It was John's passion. It was John's purpose. It was John's privilege. John wants you to know Jesus. Not just know he exists. The devil and all his demons know he exists. And James writes, and they shudder. Oh, they know who Jesus is, and they're terrified of him. Knowing Jesus doesn't save you. But knowing him and putting your faith in him, turning your sins over him, letting him be your Savior, he wants you to repent. Turn from your sins, turn to him for forgiveness, and live. John wants you to know the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You know what I want more than anything in Christmas? Anything else? For you to know. For you to have the saving faith, and not just that, but having the saving faith to know him better. And draw nearer to him. To appreciate the gift at Christmas that's coming in that little baby in a manger, our Savior in human flesh. Martin Luther once preached on the words of John the Baptist. I'll close with Martin Luther's sermon, Profound. It's extremely important that we know where our sins have been disposed of. The law deposits them on our conscience and shoves them into our bosom, but God takes them from us and places them on the shoulder of the Lamb. If it rested on me and on the world, we would be lost, for it's too strong and too burdensome. God says, "I know that your sin is unbearable for you. Therefore, behold, I'll lay it upon my Lamb. I will relieve you of it. Believe this, Luther writes. If you do, you're delivered of sin. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.